From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Congress has just returned from its month-long summer recess, and the most immediate item on its full agenda is enacting the fiscal year 2026 government spending bills, so-called appropriation acts. Should Congress be unable to pass legislation that the president demands, the country may have to suffer a government shutdown. The scope and the length of such a closure at this point will be determined at the point of no return. As Napchat listeners may recall, the longest government shutdown took place during President Trump's first term, and it caused immeasurable turmoil, lasted 35 days, and cost American taxpayers about $5 billion. It is unclear which government service would be impacted if the government closed down, as the president may deem certain services to be essential, and as a result, may continue to operate without government funding. Of course, postal operations is not financed through appropriations and therefore would not be directly impacted by a government shutdown. With a shutdown potential fogging up our front windshield, my guest on this week's episode of Naps Chat is Representative Nikki Baczynski. Naps Chat was privileged to have the Congresswoman as our guest shortly after she was first elected in Congress in 2022. Nikki is deeply concerned about the Postal Service and the federal workforce and American veterans. Congresswoman Baczynski represents the 13th District of Illinois, which includes the state capital of Springfield. The Congresswoman's interest in postal and federal employee issues predates her election to Congress. Nikki worked with, among others, the International Association of Firefighters, AFL-CIO, where she represented the union on the Federal Postal Coalition. Nikki has also served in the White House and in the office of the Illinois governor. Representative Baczynski presently serves on the House Agriculture Committee and the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. But what we will explore today is her new project, the creation of the Congressional Postal Coalition. Welcome to Naps Chat, Nikki.
Great to be with you, Bob.
Before we talk about the Postal Coalition, I want to explore an issue with you that is deeply troubling. We just commemorated Labor Day, a national holiday during which our nation honors the economic and social achievements of American workers and the labor movement. Sadly, as we know, the federal and postal workers have been politically ridiculed, and their earned benefits have been subjected to attack over the past 6 months, if not longer. Nikki, how do you feel about this attack on our federal workforce?
Well, it's a really sad day, I have to say, because our public sector workers, whether it's postal workers, whether it's our teachers, whether it's those that work in the VA, have been under direct assault since this administration came into office. You see that specifically, I think, where my concerns mostly lie with the United States Postal Service and what I fear to be these movements, maybe incrementally or maybe dramatically, toward privatization. I serve, as you know, also on the House Veterans Affairs Committee. I've been raising the red flag in that space, too, with all of the deep cuts to the workforce that have happened within the VA. You're seeing a workforce that is directly just under attack at the federal level. And not only that, but you're seeing what we know to be collective bargaining, which is the foundation of what workers, I think, are entitled to, both legally, but within their right to have a voice in the workplace, to organize for, to advocate for good wages, benefits, and safe working conditions. This administration, the Trump administration, has eliminated collective bargaining rights as well. Not just this movement, as I mentioned, that I'm concerned about toward privatization, but eliminating collective bargaining for federal workers. We're seeing that at the VA. They've already done that, EPA. And we know that even over Labor Day weekend, this administration has sent signals that they're going to be expanding the scope of what agencies they're going to be looking at. And I'm very fearful of how this is going to impact the United States Postal Service.
One of the things you just mentioned was the threat of postal privatization. And We always assume that privatization is the wholesale selling off of the Postal Service, but that's not necessarily how the Postal Service could be privatized. In fact, my column that will appear in the October issue of the Postal Supervisor is Postal a la Carte, which is the path to postal privatization, where you could privatize certain aspects of the Postal Service rather than wholesale. You talk a little bit about that?
Right. Like, so it's, for example, you know, letters versus packages, first class mail. Basically, this administration could take a partial approach to this, which is to say packages are going to be privatized. We're going to move this over to FedEx or UPS, or first class mail is actually going to go that way, and we'll let the USPS keep packages. But it is this kind of chipping away at a public service. And I really think that I've across the board stand against privatization, because what I think it does is it leads to increased cost for consumers. It also puts profit over people. There are things like the United States Postal Service that are a bedrock in our communities, in rural communities, urban communities, that people have come to rely on as a public service, not something that private industry has, you know, taken over. And so I think it's really important that, with all of the different assaults that are happening against working people, I think right now keeping a special eye on what this administration is doing as it relates to privatization is critically important.
Let's turn to the Congressional Postal Coalition and its creation and the basics of it. And we'll talk about what motivated you to create the coalition. But what is a congressional caucus that you're, you know, what is a caucus?
Sure.
And how does it differ from a committee, a congressional committee?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, you know, a caucus like the Postal Service caucus that we just established is a bipartisan caucus that kind of brings together members, regardless of party, that are aligned on issues. And in this case, we have, there are four of us. There's two Democrats, myself being one, Congressman Chris Pappas from New Hampshire. And then we have two Republican colleagues, Congressman Garbarino from New York, and Congressman Bergman, who I've been working with Congressman Bergman for some time on a number of different postal issues. But this caucus really formalized our focus on supporting the United States Postal Service and being a collective, collaborative voice to this administration on what we'd like to see as it relates to continued support for the services that the United States Postal Service uniquely offers. This is different to your question than the Oversight Committee. The Oversight Committee, as you know very well, Bob, is the committee of jurisdiction as it relates to oversight over the United States Postal Service. The late Jerry Conley was just a great friend to the USPS. And so, and now we have a new ranking member in Congressman Robert Garcia. They actually have more of the authority through legislation to move legislation out of a committee and potentially then to the House floor that would support or could hurt the United States Postal Service. I see the view of our new Postal Service caucus is really to be advocates. Advocates in a bipartisan way to support policy, to support the workforce, to support the future, quite frankly, of the USPS.
Would you envision members of your caucus testifying before the Oversight and Accountability Committee on Postal Issues?
Oh, definitely. And that's not something that I haven't already done myself. I've done it when we had Postmaster General DeJoy come before the Oversight Committee. Even though that is not a committee that I serve on, you're able as a member to what they call, quote unquote, wave on for the day. I wanted to wave on to the House Oversight Committee for that day because DeJoy was in front of the committee and I care so much about some of the plans. I objected, quite frankly, to his Delivering for America agenda and could see the harmful effects in my district. And so I wanted to get answers from him. So you can do that. And I would imagine that members of our caucus moving forward should have the ability to wave on when it's relevant to the USPS.
You indicated that what drew these people together onto the caucus was the commonality of purpose, that
yep.
is to protect and advocate for the Postal Service. Why is that necessary?
Well, I think it's incredibly necessary right now when you look at the Trump administration's outlook on just public services in general. The United States Postal Service needs an advocate in Congress. I think that advocacy needs to be on a bipartisan basis. It's why I'm really honored that both Congressman Bergman and Garbarino joined us with this effort. But we want to be pulling together on things like increasing our on-time mail delivery rates, for example. We've had challenges in central and southern Illinois, where I live and is where my district is located. We can speak to, with our caucus, the unique challenges in rural communities and underscore how important and unique the importance of these services are from the USPS. So I think now more than ever, we need advocates in Congress that are reaching into this administration to make the case for why the American people have come for so long to rely on the services of the USPS. We need to be continuing to invest in that and make the case against moving away from the critical services that they provide today.
Does the caucus have a mission statement, like specific goals that it would like to pursue?
Yes. I mean, I think a lot of it is around increasing on-time mail delivery rates. I think that it's also about supporting the workforce. It's about making the case and advocating for the impact, the economic impact of the USPS and what that will mean for our rural and urban communities. And in particular, I would say our rural communities, because I know in my district, which is largely rural, is that without the USPS, it is a lifeline for our communities. It is how people are doing business. It is how people are getting their prescription drugs. It is how, people are getting their tax returns. I mean, there is a unique reliance in rural communities and impact. And I think all four of us as chairs have definite rural communities within them. So I expect us to spend a lot of time with our mission focused on the impact.
Since the members of your caucus, I assume, would be drawn from different committees throughout Congress, not necessarily from the committee that actually has jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that opportunity provides you with the resources? Like, for example, you talked about veterans prescription drugs, getting folks from the Veterans Affairs Committees to join in. Talking about sending your tax returns and people from the Ways and Means Committee to be involved.
Yeah.
To reach out and to sort of have a diversity of membership.
I think that's a really good point, Bob. That is a real point, I think, of importance as it relates to what the composition of this caucus is going to ultimately look like. We wanted to start it with four members, two Republican and two R's and two D's. We're going to continue to grow this caucus, but we want it to remain in nature very bipartisan so it doesn't become too lopsided with any one party. But I would say that Congressman Bergman and I both serve on the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Congressman Bergman is a veteran himself. And so I just think that, we're pulling in the same direction as it relates to veterans on that committee. But Congressman Garbarino and Congressman Pappas, actually Congressman Pappas is on the House Veterans Affairs Committee with me too. But we're all going to offer different perspective. And I think as we add members to the caucus, we're going to want to add to the diversity of voices within it.
Now, as Congressman Garbarino is the new chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, does that provide a little bit more gravitas to the caucus?
Yeah.
And because the Postal Service is noted as an essential component of the government's infrastructure, particularly when there is a national disaster, does that provide you with...
Absolutely. I think some additional coverage, and he'll be able to powerfully speak to that connection for national security. Getting our mail and having a strong USPS is, I think, there is a direct connect with our national security. And I think it's great to have Congressman Chairman Garbarino a part of this caucus to make that case.
How large do you envision your caucus will be?
I'm not sure. I think it's one of those things. I think what's most important is we want it to be not lopsided to one party. We want people that are committed to the issues of the United States Postal Service. So, willing to make it as big as it will continue to have value and relevancy. I think we don't want to make it big for some arbitrary number that we're looking to hit. It's more about just being reflective of the country and all of the corners of the country and all the different places that the USPS touches.
I mean, ideally, or one would think that because every American citizen is impacted by the Postal Service, that
you could have everybody.
35 members of the caucus.
That's a big goal. We could shoot for that.
And it would definitely be bipartisan.
It would be.
you create this caucus exists, and you will be an advocate for the Postal Service and for the services that it provides. How do you envision interacting with the committees, with the administration, and with the Postal Service?
Well, I think it's really critical that we have ongoing communication with, in particular, the Oversight Committee, but Appropriations Committees as well. FSGG, for example, I think that's going to be really important. But I think that as we're looking for, you know, bills to champion that can get through committee, have a supportive committee that we can build support for, I think it's just so critically important that we work with the committees on the front end, which is the way I like to do things. So I'm sure that's what we'll have our caucus do.
Do you see the caucus drafting legislation as a caucus?
I mean, I think I wouldn't rule that out. I think at this point, we're really kind of in the launch period where we're just kind of bringing like-minded people together that are committed to the issues of improving the USPS and supporting the USPS. So I think once we get kind of critical mass, I think we'll meet. And our plans are certainly to more publicly roll out this this caucus as well. So I think those are our first next steps. And then definitely would like to be talking about legislative initiatives.
How do you envision the caucus interacting with postal stakeholders, employee groups, mailer groups, folks that are interested in the Postal Service?
Well, they're incredibly important, and people that we talk to, obviously, all the time. You know, Congressman Bergman and I are already leading on postal legislation to push back against some of the consolidations we've seen around distribution centers in this country, because as we are both committed to tackling, you know, improving on-time mail delivery, we know that consolidating services or eliminating distribution centers is only going to further exacerbate it. We worked on that legislation with postal stakeholders. So postal stakeholders are incredibly important. Something that I know my team meets with, you know, regularly. Bob, we count you among our team.
Thank you.
You know, we talk regularly, because that's what's going to inform better legislation that's going to ultimately achieve our end goal.
The postal performance, or the lack thereof, recently has impacted your constituents. So I'm curious, did that motivate you to identify other congressional districts that have had performance issues when you were seeking members of Congress to be on the caucus?
Yes, definitely. So when we had been receiving in our office kind of complaints from constituents about the lack of on-time mail delivery, and we looked deeper into it and we saw that within the district, we had a 59% on-time mail delivery rate for 3 to 5 day mail. Positive news, though, we just got back a new report that showed we have improved, and I think we're now upwards of 73%, but that is still well below kind of the national average and the gold standard, which is 90%, which we want to get to. So that led me to kind of asking questions as to why that was, what we needed to do to support the men and women that provide services through the Postal Service. How do we support ensuring that, you know, the facilities are properly supported? Then that led to what we noticed with Postmaster General DeJoy, is plans that I thought were going to further exacerbate the issues we were already having with on-time mail delivery. And what I mean by that is their consolidation, closures of potential distribution centers, but also the way they're changing the RTO plans, how they're changing scheduling mail. And both of those two issues that Postmaster General DeJoy at the time was championing have proven to be problems and have exacerbated issues around on-time mail delivery. So we started to publicly push back, and that was when I found my future caucus co-chair, Congressman Bergman, as we thought we could come together about on the distribution centers. I have two in the district that were initially on the list for potential closure, one in Champaign and one in Springfield. Positive news is we've heard Champaign is not on the list any longer, and we're waiting to hear about the fate of Springfield. But all of this activity activity. And I would just add too, Bob, I did a listening session with the workforce within the processing centers, within the letter carriers themselves, and really heard firsthand a lot of the challenges that they're facing. I mean, there are escalating incidents of violence and, you know, that's happening to the workforce, attacks on the workforce directly, hearing about in the district, you know, just the equipment, the machine or the vehicles that they're using are not air conditioned. We had a particularly hot summer at home. All these things, their workplace conditions were really challenging. And then a lot of forced overtime because they've been so understaffed. All of these things, there's not one silver bullet when you're looking at, I think, how do you improve on-time mail delivery? But when you look at all of this collectively, whether it's closing distribution centers, changing their scheduling plan, not properly supporting the workforce, all of that is leading us in this direction. And that's what made me think, we need a caucus that's going to come together on these issues to fix it.
I know I've spoken with your staff about this. And back in 2019, the Pew Research Center did an evaluation, and they evaluated different government agencies. And back in 2019, the Postal Service was ranked one with a 90% approval rating. The newest data came out for 2025, they polled again, and the Postal Service fell to number three with a 69% approval rating. That's a 21% drop, and it trails now the National Park Service and the National Weather Service. Your colleague,
Eric
Congress Sorensen, is probably saying, whoa, you know, we surpassed the Postal Service, but that's significant. That type of data, we're the 21% drop in approval, a favorability. How does that inform what the caucus intends to do?
Well, first let me say, I think when you see that shift in approval, one of my big concerns that comes immediately to mind is, again, when we're looking at combating privatization efforts, this is a challenge, because what will happen is if people become increasingly more dissatisfied with their service, they could then potentially go somewhere else and look for the same service somewhere else. And I mean to one of the private sector entities. And so that's why I think it's so important. The work of the caucus is going to be to help us elevate those on-time mail delivery rates. I would just say, and I haven't looked at that study in particular, but I would guess that if on-time mail delivery rates get back up toward 90%, people are going to be more satisfied. You know, it's just they know that their piece of mail is going to be delivered within the time frame that they were expecting it to be delivered. And there's a kind of a consistency to it that I think will help with approval rating. But also, I think, will move us further away from looking at privatization. And so that's what kind of comes to mind when you share statistics like that. And the work of this caucus, I think, can take that on head on.
Yeah, I think also it has to be the balance, because demonizing the Postal Service for political reasons or negative rhetoric about the Postal Service can also impact favorability rating separate and apart from actual performance. So there's that balance we have to sort of deal with.
Right.
We can't beat up to the point of destroying what we have.
Right. Exactly.
Now, I'd like to identify some issues and get your take on how the new caucus might be able to help the Postal Service overcome these challenges. People have certain expectations about the Postal Service, and sometimes the Postal Service doesn't have the bandwidth or the capability to meet those expectations. How do we deal with that?
Yeah, I think that that is an ongoing challenge. It's why I actually hosted this roundtable. We had the Chamber of Commerce there. We had a farmer represented there. We had a veteran just to tell their story about, you know, I think what their expectations are, and then a conversation around what the challenges are currently to meet those expectations. I think that there needs to be increased communication and education with the general public on the challenges that the USPS is facing right now, that, you know, you can't blame the workforce on a lot of these issues. You know, they're really overworked is what I heard, and understaffed and kind of forced to work a lot of overtime. All of that, in addition to tough working conditions, all of that is going to hurt, I think, the alignment of expectations with constituents. And so I tried to use my opportunity with this roundtable to kind of highlight those issues.
Just two more items, and then we'll close this out. One of the big issues is falling mail volume. Because we have less mail in the system, there's at least the argument that there's less need for a postal service. And if you have less volume, that impacts revenue. Mm-hmm. Is that something the Postal Coalition is concerned about?
Yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge that over these last 30 years, this has been a slow-growing problem with reduction in mail volume. I think, though, when we talk about on-time mail delivery, the better we can do, the more we can do to ensure that we're hitting our numbers with on-time mail delivery, I think that helps with the issue of reliability. And if people believe that the USPS is a reliable place for them to do business, then I think you're going to see an increase in volume. It probably tracks with that poll that you were saying satisfaction, I would bet.
One of the items that you worked on when you were in the Biden administration mm-hmm. was the Inflation Reduction Act, which included a substantial amount of resources for the Postal Service to update and modernize its delivery fleet. There are attacks right now within Congress to try to ratchet back or pull back the resources that the Postal Service is dedicated to modernizing its mm-hmm. delivery fleet. Is this something that the coalition is going to be working on?
It is something that I hope as a caucus we can talk about advocating for, because this is something that these were needed investments that were set aside, appropriated on a bipartisan basis. We just need to make good on this commitment. The support is clearly there from this Congress, but I think that this caucus could serve as a way, as an instrument to making sure that it becomes implemented.
From your mouth to God's ears. Well, I want to thank Representative Nikki Baczynski for joining us this week on NapsChat. Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks, Bob.
And I want to thank NapsChat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NapsChat, please leave us a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store or whatever platform you're listening on. And more importantly, share NapsChat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.